You're listening to Blueprint for Living, and for Sense of Place today we go with a storyteller who's lived his life on the road. Stan Grant is one of Australia's finest storytellers and leading journalists. He's been a political correspondent for the ABC, a news and current affairs anchor for the Seven Network and SBS, and for more than a decade he was a foreign correspondent for CNN based in Asia and the Middle East. He reported from war zones, Myanmar, North Korea, Sri Lanka. He's really been everywhere, and now he's back home. He's the international editor for Sky News, managing editor of National Indigenous Television, and Indigenous Affairs editor at The Guardian. Quite a good man to talk to about his sense of place. Stan, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Michael. Thank you for inviting me.
Look, before we get any further, you, as is traditional for this segment, chose that track that led us in. It's She's Been Talking to My Friends by the Mutton Birds. Tell us the significance of that piece of music to you.
Well, it really captures, like all great songs, a time and a place for me. I spent a lot of time on the road reporting. I've reported from more than 70 countries. And that song really captures a period when I was spending a lot of time in Pakistan. It was at the height of the Afghan war. We were on the Afghan-Pakistan border, traveling a lot around the remote areas of Pakistan up into the northwest frontier. And we used to listen to a lot of music. And I was introducing my crew, my cameraman, who is an Iranian-American, to music from my part of the world, from New Zealand and Australia. And I always loved the Mutton Birds, a beautifully evocative music, lovely sort of melodies. And he really took to that song, and he loved the album. It came off The Envy of Angels. And we played it incessantly. We were both guitarists as well, so we used to spend a lot of time, you know, trading songs, swapping songs around and listening to songs and learning how to play them. And that really evokes that period for me of being there, covering a great story, an enormously important story, with people who are very, very close to me, and traveling this sort of remote, isolated, very distant country, and yet at the same time feeling close to my part of the world.
It is so important, that kind of music from home, when you're in a different space like that. So why is it that Pakistan stands out for you? Well, we often ask guests, to show listeners behind the curtain, we ask guests for a place that has influenced them or really changed or shaped their lives. As I said in the intro, you've been a journalist all around the world. What was it about Pakistan in particular?
Well, Pakistan was, it was an adventure story. It's an extraordinary country with an incredible history, of course, carved out of partition with India, a country that has been in a fight for its own survival. There is a struggle for the soul of Pakistan, a country that is torn between radical Islamic extremism on the one hand and this sort of quest for democracy and civilian government on the other. And that struggle has really defined the country. I was always attracted to the turbulence of the country and that sort of story. Covering the war zones of Iraq and Afghanistan as well would often be very confined experiences. There were limits on where you could go, and you had to get permission, and you had to go out with the American military, in our case, because I was working for CNN, American company. In Pakistan, it was a free-for-all. If you wanted to drive to the Afghan-Pakistan border, then you could. You may not make it back out alive, but you certainly could do it. It was a country that was tearing itself apart. There were more terrorist attacks in Pakistan than Afghanistan and Iraq combined since 9/11. It's a country that's always fascinated me. But apart from that, it reminded me of home. There was a physicality to it. You find gum trees in Pakistan. Islamabad, where our bureau was based, reminded me a lot of parts of Australia, particularly around Canberra. So it was evocative, as well as a sense of place and a reminder of home, the smells and the sights and the sounds, but at the same time exotic and distant, remote, and also turbulent. So as a reporter, it was an extraordinary mix.
That resonance you write about really beautifully in the book, it's, you know, you expect that thing about the foreignness, particularly, I imagine, in a war zone or a place where you're witnessing the kind of violence that you did. But you write in your book, as a reporter, I was drawn to those stories that mirrored my own. Always I sought to answer this question, how do people live meaningful and dignified lives when all certainty had been removed? And when I reported on these stories, I met myself. In the eyes of an Afghan refugee, I saw the eyes of people in my family. That seems like a particularly powerful kind of description of what you're saying.
And it was a powerful experience. I learned about myself by being away from my own country. It sharpens your perspective of home, your perspective of your own country. I'm drawn to writers who have had that expatriate experience. People like James Baldwin, the black American writer who wrote so powerfully about the United States while living effectively in exile in France, in Paris. I'm drawn to that expatriate experience and the quality of the perspective that it brings. I also found that in reporting the stories of countries that have been shaped by the big forces of history, China, North Korea, Afghanistan, Pakistan, right throughout the Middle East, I saw the forces that were shaping my own people, Indigenous people in Australia, because we shared those same experiences. That's why I say I really met myself out there.
What year was it that you first went to Pakistan?
Oh, I'd been reporting Pakistan on and off since the 9/11 bombings in 2001. Of course, the war in Afghanistan began very quickly after that, and I'd been for pretty much 10 years covering Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, travelling out of there. I was based in Hong Kong, I was based in Beijing, then I was based in the Middle East itself for a while, working out of our bureau in Abu Dhabi with CNN. So I was there a lot. What would happen is that we would go into these countries and maybe spend 6 to 8 weeks, come back out, have a break for a while, transition with someone else, and then go back in again. It was this sort of rolling bureau arrangement that we had. And I always looked forward to it in a strange way, because obviously it was inherently risky and there was a lot of danger and there was a lot of tragedy that we reported on. But to see people living lives of meaning and dignity, to see people get up each day, to find the will to go on, to the love of their families, the love of their country and communities, what gave them that resilience really fascinated me.
How hard is it to feel like you get to know a place as a foreign correspondent? How hard is it to feel embedded in a culture, in a community, amongst a people, when you have the trappings of the media company and the journalism around you?
Yeah, and of course, that creates a lot of issues of guilt, to be honest with you, as well, because you do tend to go in and out and report on these stories and get very close to the stories and very close to the people. But ultimately, we can leave and they can't, and they're trapped there in those circumstances. And it does create a lot of angst, a lot of guilt, sometimes a feeling of shame as well. I felt that I could get very close because I immersed myself in these countries, immersed myself in the histories of these countries. I would read a lot. I would get out and meet local people. I was fortunate as well in that I worked with an Iranian cameraman who's one of my best friends, Farhad Shadrovan, and he and I, of course, blended in. You know, dark skin, and he's dark skin, and he spoke, particularly up in Afghanistan, he spoke Farsi, which is very close to Dari, one of the languages of Afghanistan. So we were able to move around a lot and dressed in local clothes. We could go and sit in a local restaurant. We could talk to local people without standing out. It didn't have blonde hair or red hair or pale coloured skin, so we could actually sit in there and blend in and get to know people. It gave me an extraordinary vantage point. We also worked very closely with local people. We had local people employed in our bureaus, and they were our eyes and our ears, they were our interpreters, but they were our friends as well, and I learned about the country through those really close bonds of friendship.
There's a lovely line in your book about your life being spent looking out a window. You use it to describe the comfort you have being in a car, watching the stars above you and kind of still moving. But there is that distance when you're looking out a window rather than being amongst it. Have you returned to Pakistan not for journalistic reasons? Is it a place that you would go back to visitor?
It is most definitely a place I would go back to as a visitor. I spent so much time there, of course, as a reporter, and was constantly going there as a reporter that I didn't have any need to go there and visit or be a tourist. But I certainly would. I would certainly live in a country like that. It holds great memories for me, but it also reminds me so much of home. And you know, that experience of looking out a window, I spent most of my early childhood, certainly up to my teens, travelling around the back blocks of New South Wales, moving from one town to the next with my parents, who were itinerant, transient people. We were, you know, living a life of poverty. It was a hand-to-mouth existence, but we had, again, the strength of family and culture, and that sort of allowed us to survive. And I got that observer's eye, that ability to sit in a car and look out and imagine, and look at other people's lives and imagine what happened in their lives. And I think that's really helped me as a journalist.
When you talk about that youth and the crisscrossing of those back roads, you talk about, in the context of your father in particular, the idea of restlessness. Is that something you feel you've inherited yourself?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Whether it was an inheritance or whether it was sort of more nurture rather than nature, it was certainly what I experienced a lot. And I do feel the need to keep moving. I like those new experiences. I like that sense of adventure. I like the idea of wondering what's just up around the corner, never saying no to another opportunity because you never know where that will lead. I like that. I like the precariousness of that existence. I don't feel comfortable, or I certainly don't trust stability so much. I wrestle against that. I really struggle with the idea of being trapped or caught in one place and having to have that stability in my life. The difficulty, of course, is in you're managing a family, as I have, and so on. It's hard to be able to have that consistency and be around, but also have that wanderlust. So, look, it is certainly something that I yearn for, but also have to struggle to curtail.
I'm so interested because your new book, Talking to My Country, is that notion of country and that notion of belonging and roots is so central to it. So that tension for you between the kind of restlessness and at the same time an acute understanding of where you've come from, what was the moment for you where you felt a shift? Because you yourself have said you've previously made a conscious effort not to be an Indigenous reporter, not to be grounded, to be one that was kind of looking outwards. Do you remember the moment when you felt that it was time for that shift for you?
It wasn't a conscious thing as such, because I always carried that with me, because our country and our sense of country is so deeply embedded in our identities. We don't have to be on country to carry that with us. And I always felt that great sense of connection. It was what I connected with in places like Pakistan or Afghanistan or China or North Korea. I could look at people and see that they were people of the land too, that they connected to their country and I could connect to them through my connection to country, that I didn't have to be on it to carry it with me. So it wasn't a conscious decision. I certainly wanted to be free of the shackles of our history. I certainly didn't want to be defined and limited by the low expectations that can really choke off the ambitions and aspirations of so many Indigenous people. I wanted to be free to experience everything the world had to offer, and I really bristled against that idea that I would be put in a box. But ultimately, I think coming back to Australia 2.5 years ago now reawakened me to the story of my own and my own people, and physically reconnected me to that place. And as things have emerged, as events have taken shape, my life has sort of moulded to those events. And I've grown into a place now where I can speak about these issues with some authority, have a different perspective because of the experiences that I've had living away from Australia, and also bring a quality to my writing or speaking about this that is informed by 30 years of journalism. I've arrived at the right place to be able to tell the right story that matters to me now.
Stan Grant, thank you so much for joining us on Blueprint for Living today.
What a pleasure. Thank you.
Stan Grant is the international editor for Sky News, managing editor of National Indigenous Television and Indigenous Affairs editor at The Guardian. And his new book is called Talking to My Country. It's out now from HarperCollins. You're listening to Blueprint for Living here on RN and across the Asia Pacific on Radio Australia.